What up, guys? Welcome back to The Mac Effect. Your host here, Mike. Like always, thanking you guys for constantly tuning in, showing love, support. I'm very grateful for all the everything that you guys are doing since the beginning of the podcast till now. Like always, searching for those good stories, those good conversations, those conversations that are not just clickbait, but those conversations that can hopefully connect with you guys, show us that we don't have to go through these things alone, that our pain can have purpose. And with that being said, I think I have something really good for you guys today. So stay tuned, enjoy the nuggets, and let's grow together. See, I have Edith. No. Sorry. I was told I have to say it in Spanish. I have Edith.
Thank you.
You're with me. She's a coworker of mine, but the reason why I decided to bring her on the Mac Effect, not only because she does have a powerful story to share that I believe she does, but, you know, we all have something that we could relate to one form or another. So, Edith, welcome. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Excited to be here.
Yeah. So, Edith, one of the first questions I do with a lot of the guests that I bring in is I just like to know a little bit of their background, like where you come from, where you grew up, where your parents from. So tell me a little bit about your background.
I was born and raised in a little city called Pasco, Washington.
Okay.
The eastern side of Washington, not Seattle, where the city is. So it's a lot of orchards, you know, a lot of Latinos move there, people from Mexico move there because there's all the agriculture. Yeah. So my parents moved there for like, worked on La Manzana, La Cherry. That's cool. I actually worked too in the fields when I was little.
No way.
To get some cash for my new iPhone.
Let's go.
Yeah. My parents are both born in Jalisco. My whole family actually moved to Colima though. So most of my family now stays in Colima.
Okay.
Or Washington.
Okay. And you were raised in Washington for how many years?
Until after college. I moved to California in 2019. So a year before COVID hit.
Wow.
I got to enjoy it before.
Okay.
For 1 year.
And I'm just, now I'm interested when it comes to that. When it comes to Washington to California, now that you've had a couple years here, how big is the difference?
It's a huge difference.
It's, in a good way or in a bad way?
I lived in a town where everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
Super
friendly. No?
I feel like I love California. I'm a city girl, I want to say. Uh-huh. It was meant for me.
Okay.
I think the big difference that I feel like I can embrace my culture here.
Okay.
Very whitewashed over there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm surprised by that. Okay.
I would like meet people that wouldn't even want to speak Spanish.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, I've never been to Washington, but okay.
But the Latino community is so huge that my parents didn't even have to learn English.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I actually didn't know English until I was about 10.
Okay. And so you pretty much grew up your whole life out there.
Yeah.
What was Edith like in like high school, in college?
Very outgoing. All of middle school I had a 4.0, so
that's what I'm saying.
I was pretty much involved in everything. I was at school from 6 a.m before school started to like 10 p.m.
Okay.
I didn't play sports, but I was involved in sports, like managers wrapping the soccer players' ankles. I was in ASB. I was in an association of marketing students called DECA. I loved school.
Okay, so academically school was like something you just loved to pursue.
Yeah.
And do. Okay.
College.
What about
no.
What about, was there like time to get in trouble and stuff? Or was it just like I was focused doing, you know, schoolwork and just getting it done?
Like I would sneak out of my house.
Anything.
I would definitely sneak out of my house.
Okay.
But I didn't really get caught until the end. In middle school, I skipped once, got caught, never skipped again. I was so scared to ditch school in high school.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. But, okay, cool. So, and did any of these, like, influences affect you, like, in a negative way or not really?
No. I don't believe so.
Okay, cool. Absolutely. So then you come out to California, and now you've, since 2019, 2025, 26, seven years.
Seriously.
So now you're out here for about 6-7 years. What are your thoughts of California? Would you go back to Washington, or it's like a net?
California has given me and taken away from me the best things of my life.
So good. Okay.
I wouldn't go back. Okay. I actually tried to go back for a little bit in 2023, but I didn't stay.
Okay.
It was a period of 6 months, but I was constantly still flying to California and here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have family out here?
No.
So you just came?
Yeah, I quit my job. I packed everything in my little Nissan Juke and came.
Wow. That's brave. I just, the only reason why I say it, because I mean, the only person I can compare it to is myself. I wouldn't pack up my things and just leave, you know, cross country to something new, not knowing where I'm, like, you got to tell me you're going to have this and this and this lined up, ready to go.
So the reason I ended up making the move was because where I was going to live, I actually knew all the people in the house. It was a 4-bedroom duplex, and they were looking for a roommate, and they were all from Washington.
Okay.
So they moved here at different points in their life, and then they ended up living together, and they posted it like, hey, we need a roommate. It's this amount of money. And in my thought process was, if I get a minimum wage paying job, can I pay rent? Yeah, let's do it. And I just came.
Nice.
'Cause it had always been my dream to move here.
Okay.
I got accepted to FITM.
¿Qué es eso?
The Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandise here in LA.
Okay.
And I didn't end up coming out of high school, but I knew I always wanted to live here.
Okay. Okay. So now you're here. Now you're trying to, I want to say discover yourself, but at the end of the day, we're always discovering ourselves. But nevertheless, you're trying to discover yourself. And tell me a little bit about, you know, being out here in California. What are like a couple things that Edith kind of started discovering about herself?
I ended up getting a job in a fashion at a wholesale fashion company, paid minimum wage.
And what was minimum wage?
I think I was getting paid like $15 an hour.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
So I told myself, this is my foot in the door in the fashion industry. A couple of months later, my old boss hit me up on LinkedIn, and they were like, we're hiring for this position, come interview. And that was to work at GT's Living Foods, practically to be an HR.
Okay.
And at the same time, we were being kicked out of the apartment that we were living in. Okay. So I was only there for like 3 months.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, well, now I need a higher paying job.
Wow.
And then at the same time, he messaged me. It was my first time like going into like a manufacturing company like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like really impressed. And I ended up getting the job as a talent acquisition coordinator at GT's Living Foods. And that's where I pretty much met everyone that still in my life and that I consider, you know, my family here.
So you build I'm learning that now, but of course in a specific position that you're in, you start building these connections that, yeah, they're coworkers, but eventually can also become something long-term in your personal life as well.
That changed my life,
because you just said right now family. So that means they've grown.
I live with the person that was a benefits coordinator there.
Okay.
Now, and her son.
Okay.
My favorite people ever. Yeah.
Which I thought was your son.
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought was your son.
He's a mini me. He's exactly like me.
He does. You showed me a picture earlier today when we were doing the toy drive, and if you don't tell me that that's your friend's son, I'm like, I thought that was yours.
I love him.
Yeah.
And then I also met Steve there.
Who's Steve?
So Steve is my late boyfriend.
Okay. Yes, this is this is one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you, because I wanted people. So The Mac Effect is a space where you're safe, where there's going to be development, there's going to be growth. There might even be a little bit of challenge, or maybe a lot of bit of challenge, because the reality is, it's like, unless you're challenging yourself, you might not be growing. So one of the things I do is, and I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but it's, I believe pain has purpose. And a lot of us live with pain, but don't make it have purpose. We just live with it, with the pain. So I wanted to bring you on because I was curious, like, I wonder if, like, has she healed? Has she processed it? Is she still healing from it? Only because since God has done a lot of work in my heart, I really want to have a place where we can transform people's lives, you know? So that's why, I mean, hint is, I wanted to hear that story.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, what happened? Who is it? And how long? And all this stuff. So I have many questions, but tell me, how did you meet this guy?
So I met him at work.
While you were HR?
Yes.
Hey, I need to write you up. Come into the office real quick.
He was a maintenance supervisor.
Okay.
And his boss, I was sitting outside eating lunch, and his boss sat with me, started talking to me, and then he came and started talking to me as well with his boss. And I kid you not, the moment that I saw him, I just, like, it was just that energy, the energy you just can't deny. I was like, I just knew it.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And what about him? Did he know it?
Yeah, he knew it.
Yeah.
Then, so you cross each other pretty much every day. The HR office was, you come outside and then there's a welding station out. There was a welding station outside. So I'd be like, I'm going to the bathroom. And then I just go watch him weld.
Andabas de voladita. Was this like your, one of your first relationships, or have you had already dated a couple times?
No, I've dated.
Okay, so, yeah. But this was one that you felt was different?
Yes.
Okay. And what happened after that?
So after that, and I'm not going to lie, our relationship was bumpy.
Okay.
It was the first 6 months, obviously honeymoon stage. It was great. Then we were in situations that weren't good, and like every relationship, right? You have your ups and downs.
Correct. I mean, I'm talking, right? Like, let's be honest, audience, is something that I'm always telling you guys. Like, let's keep it real. The reason why it's a safe space is because we're not going to sugarcoat things and lie and all these things. Like, many of us have been in those relationships where 1 week you break up, the next week you get back together.
Exactly.
You break up for 2 weeks, you make up again, and you hate him and you love him, and things like this happen, right? So, like, these are part of our development and growth. So, again, this is why I'm like, no, like, we don't sugarcoat. Like, we got to just be honest, because when we're honest, we can connect. Like, I'm sure a couple of you are listening are saying, like, dang, I thought I was the only one. Like, no, it's growing pains, guys. Like, we're learning how to identify ourselves and how to connect with others. So, okay, so there's 6 months honeymoon. Back and forth
for another, the 6 months after that were rough.
Let me ask you a quick question before you keep going. Whose fault was that? That it was
his.
Rough.
His.
At no point Edith was adding to that.
Oh, I did. After, okay. Everybody's going to hurt you. He hurt me a lot.
Okay.
And it took me a long time to go back and be like, okay, I just can't be away from you. So we're going to have to make it work, and I'm going to have to trust you, you know? And it plays into what happened after his death too, that 6 month period that we were really bad.
Okay.
But after we got back together, complete 180, like, it was like he woke up and was like, what can I do to make Edith's day better today? Like, literally, I was a freaking princess. And then 6 more months go by. We were good. We started traveling together.
At this point, you guys are together for about a year, a little bit over a year.
Well, like the back and forth, or just
no, all of it together.
Like a little bit over a year. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing everything. We're traveling and we're just experiencing life together. And in November of 2021, we went to a family party of his in Highland Park. It was at a car wash, like on the corner. And I want to say this is pretty much the first time that I actually went to one of his family gatherings as well. And I was meeting his whole, like, his cousins, everyone. There was a group of people that were outside looking for one of his cousins. And it was my idea to ask, like, hey, we should go outside and help. And I walk outside, and there was, like, a car that I felt was, like, there was someone in a car across the street that I thought was sketchy. And I asked if he knew whoever was in that car, and he said no, but he crossed the street. He told me to stay on this side of the street. So he's walking and I'm kind of walking parallel to him, but on the other side, and he passes a car. And now he turns to go this way on the main street. And that was weird to me, but never in my like head did I think follow him, you know? I called him on the phone. And the first thing I didn't even ask, why are you walking that way? I asked, did you know the person in the car? And he said no. And at the same time, I was watching the car that he had just passed. So I was kind of entertained, but then I heard gunshots. And in my head, like, I don't know if I'm naive or, like, the way that I grew up, like, is very different from, you know, here. But I didn't think that it was him. But all of a sudden, I heard him on the phone. And he was, like, saying, like, mama. And I don't know, like, if he was calling me or he was calling his mom. But in that moment, I was, like, I ran. I hung up the phone. I called 911. And once I got to his body, his phone had already called 911. It was on his chest. And they were asking me for the street name, and I couldn't see, so I had to get up. I ran the other way to get the street name. But by the time that I came back, like, there was already people all over him. Someone had snatched his phone. And then the cops got there, the ambulance got there, and then they took him.
Did you see where he got shot or no?
He was shot about 11 times.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. I actually didn't know this until last year in December when the trial finally happened. So, man, it's been a long, long journey.
I can imagine. Thank you, first of all, for sharing, because it's not an easy story to share, but it's reality. And this is why I wanted to bring you, because I want people to understand, like, have you ever had that incident in your life? Has someone ever passed away from a gunshot, from violence, car accident, unexpected? How old was he?
27.
Super, super, super young. And this happened what year?
2021.
The trial happened 3 years after, 2024, or just this year, 2025?
No, yeah, it was 2024 last year.
So 3 years for the trial to pass, to go through. So,
yeah, it's a long time. It's like, sometimes I thought, okay, well, nothing's gonna happen, because they had already told me there was a person. Mm-hmm. But it still took forever to get to the trial. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I had to testify as well.
Oh my. Okay.
Yeah,
so tell me a little bit about that. Before I get there, those years that you were waiting, the initial situation when it just happened, because I heard you telling me, like, police were asking you for street, you were kind of like, I mean, it, the way you described it, it just, it's so traumatic, like, your body's in a position where it's just trying to survive. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure things out. So I'm sure a lot of things happen that you're like, dude, I had no idea. I'm just like tunnel vision trying to find a street.
Yeah.
After all that, like, the days after, how was Edith feeling the days right after?
So I actually went to the hospital right away. And
was he, like, in critical condition?
Yeah, he didn't die right away. And his brother had told, like, the hospital that I was his wife. So it was just me and his mom at the hospital. This lady don't like me.
So that didn't make it easy.
That's where the 6 months, those difficult 6 months, like, we didn't have a relationship. And it's one of those things too, like, you grow up watching novelas, right? And growing up Mexican, Catholic, you think like, okay, I'm just going to pray and there's going to be a miracle and it's going to be okay. Like, I still thought it was going to be okay. Like, I was just, I didn't talk to her. I just was just praying the whole time. I was like, there's no way. Like, there's no way. He's like the strongest person I know. Like, he's going to come out of this. I didn't know he was shot 11 times at that time either. Hours passed by and the doctor finally came down and said, you guys need to say goodbye. So we go, it was me and her still. And I'm just watching, like, I'm watching, but she is very, like, screaming, like, telling them it's their fault, like, and I'm just very, just, I'm crying, but I'm not, like, I'm trying to just process everything that's going on. I'm watching, like, them filtering blood into his body. I touch his hand, like, the coldest touch I've ever touched, and then she starts looking at me and then starts blaming me. It's like, she starts telling me, like, right there with, like, I know you know who did this. Like, it was your fault. So the following days were rough because I still felt like I had to show up. When they were doing the rosaries at his family's house, looking back, I think he would have been okay with me not going because I was pretty much being interrogated. Like, it was my fault. Like, I did it. Like, I set him up. And maybe it did look like that because I was there. At the funeral, it was the same thing. Like, she was not gentle with me. And I understand. I do understand. Like, you just lost your son. But I pretty much lived with this man. I slept with him for a day, every day, the past year. Like, he was with me more than he was with you. And that sucked. It didn't feel like I could grieve properly or for myself. Mm-hmm. So that was hard. The year after that, I was on a bender. For sure, bender, alcohol every day. Blacking out a lot. The blackouts were crazy. I felt like I was living in two realities. Like, if he was here, this would be like this. Or it's just this. I don't know how to explain it because even when there was people around me, I wouldn't say anything like what I was actually thinking because I don't want to make people sad. Death is a very uncomfortable topic for a lot of people. So I couldn't be present ever.
Yeah. Number one, from my, like, I genuinely pray. Like, I'm a man of faith. I'm constantly asking God, like, you know, what's happening? What do you want from me? And in my heart, I'm very sorry that you didn't have the opportunity to grieve. Maybe you have after all that drama, but I'm apologizing through the Holy Spirit for, like, those services that should have been moments where you could grieve. But you have to worry about how the mom's feeling, how the tia's feeling, how the uncles and the brothers and the cousins and all that stuff. So that's the first thing that I feel. And then number two is, it's a question for you. There's no right or wrong, but did you ever look for God? Was God ever something that, or was it just straight to alcohol?
Not in the beginning. I was upset. That's when every, like, all the questioning comes, like.
Absolutely.
Like, why him?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was praying all night, like, okay, why didn't this deserve the miracle? You know? I was very not okay with God at the time.
Can I tell you something? I've cussed out God. I've been in prayer, and I've literally have let him have it. And you know, one of the beautiful things about the Lord is he'll take it. Mm-hmm. He'll be like, he'll take it, and he'll hear it out. Now I look back and I'm like, I'm so sorry, but 100%, it's 100% valid. And thank you for being vulnerable and transparent and not being these people that are like, I just wasn't seeking him. No, you're telling me the truth. Like, I was pissed at him. Mm-hmm. Was? So no more? Or a little bit?
No, I'm not mad anymore.
Okay.
Not anymore.
Okay. So then after you're processing all these things about, like, his funeral services, but the family drama and all these things, because I agree with you, like, in the sense of, well, before I even get to that point, I want to make one thing clear. One thing I do with a lot of people that come into the show is we are not here because we're trying to talk bad about any other families or anybody else. This isn't a let's make them look bad and let us look good. That's not what we're doing. The reality is you went through something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to speak it and say who hurt you, hey, that's your story. They don't have the right to come and tell you, you can't share that because you're making me look bad. That's your story. Mm-hmm. That's what you went through. Like, and it's, I feel like I could talk almost about anything because I'm not hiding anything. So yeah. Right now that you're sharing that, making it clear, we're not making anyone look bad. So you went through all that stuff. And what did Edith do to try to heal herself? Because you were losing yourself in alcohol, yeah. Blackouts. You shared that.
So I kept my job. I was actually working from home at the time. I'm so grateful for that.
Because they understood and they were like, work from home.
I was working for a very great company. No, my position was work from home regardless.
Oh, okay.
So that was... It's interesting because 2 weeks before, I had just started the job. 2 weeks. The job that I had before that, they wouldn't have cared. They would have, you have to work.
Is that where you met him?
No, it's a different.
Where you met him was where you could work from home?
No, now it's multiple, it's been multiple jobs now.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, no. Thank you.
So he was still working at GT's though. I had already left. My time was over. So that whole year, I kept my job past 2022. In February 2023, I decided to quit. And I didn't work until October of that same year. So in that time, I was still drinking a lot. I was traveling a lot, using traveling as a coping mechanism too. And I would go on these trips, drink, have fun, and then I come back to a freaking pit empty again. At that time also my friends were also going through it because they were just all down to do the same thing every day, you know. And that's when I moved back to Washington, kind of. So my brother came, put everything in his truck and took me back to Washington. But I was still here a lot.
He's an older brother or younger brother?
Younger brother. He's my baby. In that time, I kind of like realized I needed to snap the fuck out of it. I couldn't be living. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep for all those years. Like the insomnia was crazy. Mm-hmm. I couldn't rest. Mm-hmm. And finally in October, I was telling my friend of how I felt. And one day she told me, are you going to be in California these days, this weekend? Okay, leave them aside. You're going to do this. So I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, but I ended up in a emotional intelligence leadership program. It's called MITT. So there's three parts to it. The first part is 3 days. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I was in this, and I didn't even know what was going on. I just, like, I trusted her, and it was...
She was just trying to get you help.
Yes. It was life-changing. Life-changing. You go in there with a group, maybe I want to say, like, 80 people, and you're in a hotel, one of those hotel, like, rooms. What are they called? The big rooms. Conference rooms that they have. You do these exercises with these strangers. It was just healing.
And you stayed there in the hotel and everything. Like, everyone had their room there.
I mean, if you were out of state.
Oh, okay. Like, you could go back. Okay, yeah, got it.
It was just, like, during the day and then at night.
Got it.
I felt like then you do a little graduation at the end of it. When we were all holding hands at the end, I physically felt just weight lifted off my body. In that, I could finally sleep. It was crazy. I could sleep.
Was it religious or was it just like
not religious?
Okay.
No.
Interesting.
Not religious at all.
But I do want to share for the audience and for the viewers, like, there's a reason why the Lord has made us to connect and socialize, because there's healing in connection. Mm-hmm. There's healing in groups. This is why I want to bring stories. I've brought stories with friends that have lost babies, that have had rainbow babies, mm-hmm. that I've had friends to share rape. I have friends that have shared. They're just a lot of different stories, right? Like, I share my story too. My blind side of my divorce, like, you know, infidelity, these things that are real that we go through. But it's something in connection with group. Like, maybe you have, you know, for your path, it was that. With me, it's my mentorship and my counseling that has really been a huge blessing. So you went through that. You felt a huge weight lifted off your shoulders. And then what?
I was like, okay, well, I need to do the next part, because this has helped me tremendously. I moved back here. I started working again, went through the second part, and it's, you know, you just do these exercises that they make you do, and you do learn that we all go through the same things. We just don't talk about it. And I had that support system. I will say, though, that it helped, but I don't think it was like the full help that I needed. I also tried past life regression therapy. I read the book Only Love Is Real by Dr. Brian Weiss, I believe is his name. And he does past life regression therapy, and that's where you get hypnotized and you go into your past lives. So it was always me search. Like, I always wanted it to be closer. I wanted to know, like, were we meant to be? Like, why did this happen? Like, were you in my past life? I just wanted to feel like I was closer to him. I also spoke to a medium in that time. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just ways of, like, I didn't want to let go. I also feel like I got scammed, though, with that past life regression therapy, because she couldn't hypnotize me. So her name is Stephanie. Don't go to her.
I mean, we'll have different opinions on that, because I'm more on the religion side. Mm-hmm. So I believe a lot of what the Bible teaches us. But like, I don't know, even like with mediums, we could go into that. But I respect people and their journey, like, regardless, because at the end of the day, it's like you're trying to figure it out.
It's what makes you happy.
The same way it's what I'm trying to figure out. So it's like, what you got to do, what you got to do for what you feel, you know, and you respect people's journeys and respect their decisions that they make. So, okay. So you didn't want to let go, which is 100% obvious, like, not obvious, but a lot of people wouldn't want to. And
a lot of people never do.
And then? Are you still kind of dealing with it then? Or Have you fully healed from it, or are you still like, nah, this is still a work in progress that I'm still...
I don't believe you ever, like, heal. You know, you grieve forever.
Okay.
There's always going to be something. You're always going to be up and down. You're forever going to miss that person.
Okay.
This year, I do feel more present. I don't have those thoughts of what would my life be like anymore if he was still here. Like, it's accepting, you know? I feel worthy of having good things in my life again. And this year has just been better.
Okay. Have you ever done therapy? Counseling?
I did try a few sessions.
How many is a few? One, two, three?
I think two.
Two? And? No. Wasn't for you?
I don't think I gave it a chance.
Okay.
I don't think I gave it a full chance.
And I kind of agree. Like, I'm the type of person that I'm going to be straight up with you, but I'm also open to, like, you know, if I'm wrong or did I cross the line, like, let me know. Like, I'm very naive in a lot of things, mm-hmm. but I'm learning. But one thing I have in my heart that I really love this, and some people don't for whatever reason, but I love asking questions. I love knowing. I love understanding. I love figuring it out. I love, like, hey, what about this? Like, I know this might make you feel a little uncomfortable, but I want to know exactly what you felt that moment or that time. In my personal opinion, I don't know why this is the number that's in my head, but when you go to counseling, if you don't give it at least minimum 5 sessions, it's just not going to work.
And also the person too, therapist, because you also have to keep searching for a therapist that will fit.
Correct.
That would be fit for you.
The only reason why I ask is because I've gone to my counselor for years now, and like, we still find certain things like, oh, that's a daddy issue. Ah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a mom issue. Ah. And it, like, so many things that you find, but it's like, you don't find the mom issue, the dad issues, the family traumas, the losing someone. Like, that is, losing someone already is crazy. But in that way, like, it's so, like, I mean, I could only imagine how traumatizing it can be. But the point I'm trying to get to is, like, when you reveal all these things, you really start understanding, like, yourself. But you're not trying to bash your mom and dad. You're not making them look bad. Because people think, like, if you bring up a daddy issue, it's because le estás faltando el respeto a tu mamá, tu papá. And it's like, no, you're not, dude. You're trying to heal yourself so that this stuff doesn't repeat.
Yeah.
Where is Edith in her healing journey?
Huh. I don't know. I think in 2024, once I started doing that program, I also started going to church. Started going to Christian church. I was raised Catholic.
Did that feel like I'm betraying my family or not really?
No, not at all.
Okay, good.
I feel like my immediate family is pretty open. And I've always been like the, I don't want to say black sheep, but I always did whatever I wanted to do. And no one was going to tell me anything.
No, I would have never guessed.
So there are still things that I want to try. I still want to get back into like going to church. I would love to find a good therapist or one that suits me.
Perfect spot, my friend. I got a perfect therapist for you.
And it just feels like I'm ready to be open to those things. I don't think I was mentally ready to do it back then. And it just feels like I'm in a much better space now to be able to want to talk about everything.
So good. That means you're in a place where you want to heal. And the reason why this conversation is taking place is I want that listener, that viewer that is listening, that is watching and is feeling something like, oh my gosh, like what she's saying is resonating in my heart, or what she's saying is really hitting me right now in this area. Like, I'm not ready to heal. I don't really want to touch that side yet. It's okay. It's totally fine. Like, you're going to do it at your pace. Now, there's loved ones that want to help you and want to give you a shortcut. I'll give you an example. Me going through my divorce, I really believe my healing process would have taken 3 years, 4 years, if it wasn't for my therapist, for my mentor, for my sister. They have helped me so much that they've speeded up my healing process, where I've understood a lot of things now.
Yeah.
I blamed myself so much in the beginning. And God really taught me, like, no. Like, you have problems. Like, you got to get better. But this isn't a you thing.
Yeah.
This is a her thing. And just it speeded up my process, where I'm just like, you know what, God, thank you. Like, days where I'm on the floor, like, crying like a baby. And now I see it and I look back and I'm like, well, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm happy because I'm processing, I'm grieving, I'm going through it. But I'm not going to stay there for a whole year. And I'm so thankful that you got to be around the right people.
Yeah, I have a great support system. Whether it's here, whether it's in Washington, my family all took turns to come visit me, like when it initially happened, to spend time with me. Crystal let me live at her house for a few months. I wasn't living with her back then, but I stayed at her house for a few months. And I just have the best support system. I feel very blessed.
Looking at everything that you said right now, looking back at those days where Edith was at, the dark days, the blackout days, the days that she was just, pain was trying to be muffled with alcohol. Do you see that God was still with you in those days? Or no?
With the people that I had around, probably. I've always felt, like, even since I was little, I've always felt like there was something taking care of me. That's just it. I've always felt protected, and I don't know. That's just how I've always felt, and I still feel that.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I'm asking, again, whether the answer is yes or no, it's totally fine. I share it because with me, like, certain moments where I felt like I was alone, now through a lot of healing, and I look back, like, even though, like I just described you, the day that I was just on the floor crying like a baby, and multiple days, because it wasn't just one, it was multiple, but I see God, like, hovering over me. Like, I got you. It's okay. You're not alone.
I guess I can't pinpoint it because I was unconscious half the time.
Well, you're unconscious, but he's not. That's the point I'm trying to get to, is, yeah, like, you're clueless. I had no idea myself either. But I'm sharing this with you because I want you to see how Edith's life could have ended also back then. But there's a purpose why Edith is still here. There's a purpose why Edith is still able to share. Guys, I know the pain of losing someone, and I know the pain of going through the embarrassment with family members. I know the pain of going through this, because that's something that you'll be able to use to help people as well.
Yeah.
And you're mentioning, like, you're going through it. Like, this, again, this isn't a space for people that have it all together. No, I want people to be able to straight up say, I don't, and I need help. I'm figuring it out. But we're trying. Now, if you're just like, if I would have probably been interviewing the Edith that's just completely blacking out back in the days, then we're having a conversation that's pointless.
Yeah.
But I'm talking to one that now knows, man, I have questions that I want answered. And even if the answer is going to be, there is going to be no answer, how can I move on with a no answer? And you're getting it. You're getting it. You're doing good, bro. You're doing good.
Thank you.
So, with all that going on in your life, now you went through something that critical, trying to flip it more on the positive side. What visions or plans does Edith have in her future? Because someone's a podcaster now. I see it.
Yes.
I see it.
I'm one of those people that wants to do everything. But my dream since I was a little girl was to be a fashion designer.
Okay.
So, and ever since I moved here, I right away got my sales license, yeah, my wholesale license. And I just never did anything with it because life gets in the way and things happen, X, Y, and Z. But that's still the goal. Like, I want my own brand. It's going to happen.
You already do some pieces or no?
No.
No?
I don't.
Oh, I thought you did. I thought you showed me something a while back.
This is probably my plan?
Maybe.
Maybe. I think that's the main thing.
Okay, so the number one thing would be that. That's your definitely goal. Mm-hmm. And as far as the podcasting, what is that? That's just like a little hobby on the side or what?
Yeah. My friend Marta and I have our podcast called Sweet Chaos. And we started it in 2024. It's a platform, you know, to talk about life things as well. People come on also to talk about their businesses and to promote them and things like that as well.
Sweet. What's it called?
Sweet Chaos.
Sweet Chaos. Guys, there might be a special guest at Sweet Chaos. Just saying. Just saying. We're inviting ourselves, but
let's do it.
Okay. So any other goals? Any other goals that you might have in mind? I know clothing is obviously very close to Edith's heart. Your podcasting that you're doing with your friend and anything else.
You know what I realized today? I need to work with children. I also support my friend Ruby, which she has a nonprofit organization called Wonderlust Foundation. We usually go to Tijuana a few times a year to drop off things at a church where they hold like a lot of refugees as well. So kind of pushing that forward because there's a lot of people that need help. There's a 100%. Lot of children that need help.
100%. So the little bit that I have, the little platform that I have, no, let me rephrase that. The platform that I have, because God tells me to remove the little.
Yes.
The platform that I have and the ability to have to help families. Like for Thanksgiving, we were able to help 4 families.
Beautiful.
Might not be a big number for other organizations, but you know what? For the Mac Effect, that is a great place to start. For my last episode, I asked people if they wanted to donate. People have been donating. And it again, not much, but we'll be able to gift a little bit back to people that are in need. And I love that you're sharing that because the reality is the Bible, I'm telling you, I really strongly hear the Lord convict me in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Faith without action is dead. So there's many people that walk the walk. Mm-hmm. I mean, that talk the talk, mm-hmm. but don't walk the walk. You got to do it. You got to like go out there and help. So many people in Mexico need help. Families that we just saw right now, where their parents, I hope and I pray that they're trying to get their act together and get their children back, but having their kids fostered somewhere else. Mm-hmm. My heart, I'm a father. I don't want anybody else fostering my kids because dad's going to be there. Like, I got this, mm-hmm. right? God willing, I mean, if it happens and you need that help, I totally understand. There's no disrespect, but it just goes to show you that we have to be active by spreading the love, spreading the peace, spreading the joy. We have a world where it's full of hate already, man.
Yeah. And I mean, Chris, what has Christmas become too in these years? Sometimes it's just selfish.
Oh, yeah. Me, presents, yes. presents.
Like, we're here to give, and we should not expect anything in return.
100%.
It's all from the heart.
But you still got to find a gift for me, so, I mean.
Get him some gifts.
Okay. Well, Edith, I mean, again, I'm just glad that you were able to open up and share that story. I didn't know it. So like right now, as I'm hearing you say those things, I'm like, wow. I mean, now this is just the curiosity one.
Okay.
Does Edith feel ready to date again?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. That's a very, I did not expect that answer. I thought you were going to say no, but I mean, it's the healing process. So Yeah, guys.
You'll probably hate it.
Send your resumes. I'm trying to hook up my sister. What? I'm trying to hook up Edith now. We got to get your resumes.
Who said I'm single?
Oh.
Wait, going back though.
Oh.
I've had, what do you believe about dreams? Because
I believe God uses dreams to speak to us.
Okay. So the last few times that I've dreamed about Steve, he's like, why are you calling me? Like, let go. He's telling me to let go. So he's always mad at me. I don't know. But
okay. All right. My bad. Don't send resumes. She's off the market. I didn't know, guys. I didn't know.
I mean, I was just asking. You just, because you assumed.
Oh, my goodness.
Why do you have to assume?
You're right. You're right. I should not assume. Are you single?
TBD.
Okay. She just doesn't want to share, but it's totally fine. Nevertheless, guys, I mean, I asked that question because I know healing has to take place before, because I see many people jump into relationships when it's not the right time. So I was just asking, like, out of my personal curiosity, but
I'm going to be transparent. I couldn't sleep by myself for a long time. I do feel like I jumped into a relationship early on because I didn't want to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
I physically did not want to be alone. That's probably really messed up, but it happened and it's real.
No, thank you. I mean, that wasn't a nugget or a piece of the conversation that I was asking, but I love the fact that you're being honest, because again, it's the only way we're going to be able to check ourselves. Mm-hmm. I, Mike, have been separated for over a year. Mm-hmm. The flesh has wanted to hook up, mm-hmm. but my fear of the Lord is greater, where it has not happened. And in the time, you feel like a dumb, like stupid, like you're an idiot. Like, dude, you should be living it up the same way other people are living it up.
Yeah.
But now that time has passed and I look back, certain people are going through certain problems or certain dramas. And God's like, you see what I'm protecting you from.
Yeah.
Because you jump into things when you're not supposed to. Mm-hmm. So that's beautiful, because the reality is many people cover their pain with a patch, which is, I'm just going to replace alcohol, boyfriend, girlfriend, this, that. And everybody puts their head in a pillow at the end of the night and says, I'm not happy, yeah, or this is not satisfying.
I'm empty.
Exactly. Having everything around you, why do I feel like I have nothing? So that's beautiful, vulnerable moment there. I appreciate that. I hope we're listening, guys. I hope we're taking. So what do I do then? What you do is you start finding purpose. You start finding the help you need to love yourself first. Mm-hmm. I've shared this in another episode with my sister, where we talk about self-love, identity, finding who you are. Because when you find it from within, you don't need it from out anymore. That's another
podcast. Learn new things.
That's another podcast we could go into or whatever, but learn new things. Discover who you are.
Mm-hmm. What you like. I like rock climbing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's go. I like golf. So we figure things out. But nevertheless, Edith, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Guys, if you guys have any questions for me, any questions for Edith that maybe I passed that you're like, I would really like to know this, comment, send them in. I'll put her information there too, so that you guys can reach out to her if you guys want directly, or you guys could reach out to me and then we pretty much take it from there. But with that being said, I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. I'll see you guys next week. Mac Effect out. Peace.